97 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar pills are coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
All right, Lo is here. Hour number two of the show. Lorenzo Alexander joins us. How you doing, man?
You know what? I'm doing phenomenal. Phenomenal. Wow. And I'm using that word because as I was driving in, I just, you know, I listen to you guys all the time. It's actually been a shift for me to change the hours that I listen to the station a little bit of, because I'm a creature of habit.
Yes, we
so
all
that's,
are.
Yeah, so that's been a huge shift. But as I'm driving in, I was reminded by my friend Wolf that for 15 years, I was one of the greatest players in the universe. Man, you know, if you're one of the greatest players, well, you know, in your city, you feel good, or your state, you feel good, or the country. But when you say the universe,
yeah, but
woo, that just wakes you up a little different.
I know, but stop.
I'm good.
Stop and think about it. Less than 0.1% of every kid that puts on a helmet gets to the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm feeling great. I was reminded of the greatness that I was associated with for 15 years. I said, oh, yeah, man, I had that in me, man. So,
well,
yeah, I'm feeling
think
good.
Think about it now.
Thank
you. You're 57 years old. Yeah, we're talking about our conversation with Urban Meyer. Yeah. Do you really want to be recruiting a 17-year-old kid? I don't.
Right.
At
57. I don't want to do it at 38. I can't lie to you, dude. I'm not going to suck up to you either. So I'm going to give it to you raw and how I really feel. And either you're going to come play for me or not. And that's why I won't be a college recruiter.
You get me. There's no doubt. No, you get me. I'd say, yeah, you know what, that hard coaching. I love that coach. Yeah. Yeah, I'll come play for you. But you're going to lose a lot of talented dudes, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm.
You have a team of wolves. That would be imagine Belichick.
And in college, we would win a lot of football games. Because we would have a lot of heart, a lot of great technique. Coaching wins games in college still,
true.
I think. We would be good. We'd be fine. I'm okay with a ton of wolves. I know I'm going to get 110.
You know, we have great kickoff cover. Great cover, great punch.
You'd be backed up all day. Starting from the five-yard line all day.
Nobody would carry the ball out of the end zone ever.
Luke, save us. Where are we going to this?
I kind of like where we're
great.
Going right here.
Yes.
Well, we haven't got to talk to Zoe yet since that Cardinals game. So before we sort of shift ahead to Minnesota in this weekend, just what were your reactions to seeing what they did to Tennessee?
I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't get a chance to watch it live, but I watched it back. And I mean, just the run game, something that we had talked about. I really believe it took Tennessee Titans soul, right? And just the way they pounded the rock, and Edmonds had, like, he averaged like 5 or 6 yards a carry. And the best run of the day for me was by Connor. And he only got maybe back to the line of scrimmage or one yard. It was like the stiff arm.
Stiff arm.
Yeah, it was like a double deuce play downhill.
Bud Dupree, his former teammate.
Run
get
over somebody, stiff arm another, shook somebody off. Just the physicality that run, even though he didn't go anywhere, what it represented, it was really indicative of the game and how they really dominated these guys up front on both sides of the ball. And I was really, really impressed with the consistency. Obviously, Kyler coming out. Some of the throws that he made, and it was probably 3 or 4 plays that I can remember that the ball was dropped. One to, I think, Max Williams over the top. It was like a deep over, put that ball in the money. He tried to catch it sliding and dropped it. Kyler dropped it in. Hop was upset with himself because he had a sideline one. And maybe if Kyler's feet were set a little bit better, he could have made it, but it was a catchable ball. That was another great throw. And then obviously we know the touchdown pass is what he was doing. So I thought he had a phenomenal game, did a really good job extending plays, throwing from the pocket, understanding what the defense, which I know we'll get into a little bit as far as how Rodney has helped him in that regard as well. And then defensively, Chandler Jones doing Chandler Jones type things, 5 sacks, and they were legit sacks.
Legit.
Right?
Yeah.
Even the one where he ran free, he had to transfer his eyes. He looked, oh, this is a boot. This all looked boot. I'm going to go get Kirk, and had a big play, obviously creating the turnovers off of
point.
That. So And then the other four, I mean, I wrote them down. He was just killing guys. And a lot of it was the back end. You know, we was worried about Marco Wilson, right? Was he going to be able to hold up? Man, he had pretty good sticky coverage all game. The other side, Byron Murphy did a great job. Isaiah Simmons did a great job in his dual threat position, right? You know, playing that big nickel extra linebacker. So, and he threw his body around and really loved Jordan Hicks stepping in. I think he gave that defense the confidence of knowing what he's going to be in. And so only thing with that is now having Zaven Collins continue to develop and come alongside of that. And as he improves, Zaven is, and Isaiah too, I think this defense has a chance to be really dominant when we think about who's up front. And I didn't even really mention J.J. Watt, and he had a couple big plays. And they set the tone, right? Those two stars. You think about Chandler, first run of the game, stuffed him in the backfield. The second series, J.J., stuffed him in the backfield. Then at the third series, it was a swarm of them. They stuffed him in the backfield. So they just set the tone consistently and really dominated this game from start to finish.
You know, based on that right there, too, Zoe, that was the biggest takeaway that I had, and I did not see coming. The way they beat the Tennessee Titans on the line of scrimmage, the physicality, they were more physical than the Titans. I did not see that going into that game. But stop and think about this. What did Steve Keim say in the offseason? He said, there are two things we want to get, more physical and we want to get better leadership inside the locker room. These first two games right here, the Tennessee Titans and now the Minnesota Vikings. Well, you handled the first part, the physicality part. You handled it now. Now, all of a sudden, I think the leadership part of that equation takes over on this second week. Do you have to be physical against the Minnesota Vikings? Of course you do. But now it's the leadership, the preparation leading up to this game. How important do you think that is?
I think that is significant. And you think about the guys they added, J.J. Watt, Rodney Hudson, right, are probably the two names that kind of just jump out at you. But they had, to my, you know, in my perspective, they had leadership last year. You know, some of those guys, right? Buddha's another guy. Fitz was there. So there were guys, Pat P., even though we may have mixed feelings about him, I know he's a leader inside that locker room with his guys. To me, I think leadership is important, but I think it's as equally important to have men that are willing to listen and take what you're saying as is gold, and not like, oh, he's just saying that or he's just saying it. So I think in this regard that it's great to have the leadership, but I also think experiencing some of those things last year, especially for a guy like Kyler that admitted that he was taking it for granted, right, that he went through it. Oh, man, I can't take it because this is what's going to happen. Those guys were telling me some real stuff where I hadn't experienced it yet, so I didn't take it as seriously as I should. So I think the combination of obviously having that leadership but also have gone through it last year with a lot of those young guys, they know what to expect now. They know they can't say, oh, well, we just whooped Tennessee. We saw the way the Vikings kind of played last week, very similar. They didn't play really well, and then we're going to be able to go out here and dominate them as well. They know they have to have the focus of the season early on, and so I think that's as equally as important as far as having those other guys, Rodney and JJ, as far as that experience too, to add together, and that's when something special
more happens. Followers, is that what you're saying?
And not necessarily followers, like,
but you know what
you say,
I mean.
But I'm just saying for the fans, right? So they understand what we're talking about when we say followers. They're more receptive. There's more humility in it because they have been embarrassed and have had shortcomings where they didn't make the playoffs last year. And so now when somebody says something, they're willing to receive it because they've experienced the other side when they didn't listen.
Yeah, you're more attentive because now you've gone through it. You don't want to go through it again.
Exactly.
Maybe you realize the guy that's been in the league for 10 years knows what he's talking about, and there's a reason he's saying it.
Right.
All right, we come back. Lorenzo Alexander's here. We'll talk about the biggest matchup we'll be watching for when the Cardinals take on the Vikings. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
A blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
A
I think most people driving around, when they look at the main matchup in this game, the one that jumps out to them is probably DeAndre Hopkins against Patrick Peterson, right? I mean, just from a fan's perspective, you want to see DeAndre Hopkins put up points against Patrick Peterson.
Right, Luke.
I'll start us off here in terms of just the key matchups in this game coming up. And Zoe, you kind of mentioned him. Marco Wilson was quietly impressive, I thought, in the first game. It's his first game ever. I want to see if he can do it again. But the Cardinals secondary was really good against Tennessee. They're going to face some strong weapons in Minnesota. Adam Thielen's coming off a really good game. Justin Jefferson's coming off a great rookie year. And K.J. Osborne was pretty solid in the first game against Cincinnati. So for me, I'm looking at the Cardinals secondary against the Vikings receivers because we don't know definitively, but chances are Minnesota's going to have to throw to keep up with the Cardinals offense.
I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, though. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that game. Go back and watch Cincinnati's defensive line and how they essentially destroyed, dismantled, dominated. I don't know another D word to go with those.
Decimated.
Decimated, right. The Minnesota Vikings offensive line, especially interiorly. This cat, and I'm going to mess his name up, but Larry Ogunjobi, hopefully I got that right. Number 65 for the Cincinnati Bengals, was a grown man out there all day. From guard, center, guard, he probably threw each one of those dudes around three or four times in Kirk Cousins' laps. He had a couple of sacks, some big stops on runs. And so for mine, I know people are going to want to look on the outside because that's sexy. We know Pat P played here and some of the things he said on All Things Covered podcast. But my eyes are going to be on number 99, J.J. Watt, and what he's able to do versus that interior line and how he's going to be able to dominate and really replicate what number 65 for the Bengals did last week. Because if he is anywhere near what Larry did, Ogunjobi did, as far as just his production and impacting a quarterback, the Vikings don't have a shot. And I'm not even mentioning Chandler Jones, just J.J. He can disrupt this game all by himself.
Boy, that is so cool to hear you talk about that. You're such a defensive player, are you not? You're always looking at the and I'm looking at the offense once again.
You're not looking at special teams?
It is the same. No, it is. We're always looking at special teams. Once a transitional technician,
always
a transitional technician. Special teams aside, though, it's the offense, again, that I'm going to look at. The similarities, I can't get over how similar these first 2 weeks of the season are for the Arizona Cardinals and their opponents and how similarly their opponents are built. It's the strength of the Tennessee Titans was their offense. The strength of the Minnesota Vikings is their offense, in my opinion. And their defense struggled mightily last year. And I know they've done a lot to try to improve it this year, but you've got to prove that you actually are different than what you were from a year ago before we actually give you the moniker of being different. And right now, I mean, you had a guy go out and light it up who was a young guy in Joe Burrow, go out and light it up with a quarterback rating of 128, threw for 260 yards and two touchdowns against the Minnesota Vikings. So once again, would you look at that and say, you had a guy who was a rookie wide receiver playing in his first game, had five catches for over 100 yards and a touchdown. And he hasn't really had a great preseason either. So you look at it and think, you know what, maybe there's something here for the Arizona Cardinals to exploit. And I think offensively there is.
So what you were saying about J.J. Watt, how much do you expect what Chandler Jones did last week to play into J.J. Watt maybe having a big game this week? Because I just logically I look at it and I'm like, they already knew Chandler Jones was good.
Right.
But you don't want to get embarrassed and allow him to get five more sacks if you're Minnesota. But how you can't handle both of them.
You can't. And so you have to pick your poison. And for me, it is more disruptive for a guy interiorly to be dominant than on the outside, because quarterbacks want to be able to step up, especially if you're not mobile, right? Guys on the outside, if they run the hoop all the time, you can scoot up and then get out. But if you have a guy all the time in your lap and you can't scoot up, you have to go outside. That is, more of an issue when I'm looking at it from an offensive perspective.
Agreed.
And so I'm always going to be checking, J.J. first, can we hold him? Can we slide two guys to him? Obviously, you want to try to chip Chandler when you can, but you just can't do it every single play. And luckily for the Cardinals, they have other guys that can rush the passer too and be dominant. And, you know, whether it's Allen, whether it's Golden, these guys have the ability to make plays too. But just the way they played and protected last week, it really doesn't matter what they do. JJ should dominate this game and be a difference maker. And to your point, offensively for the Cardinals, Bashar Breeland looked out of sorts. I mean, he didn't look like himself.
I was just about to say that.
You know what I mean? He just, so I'm going right back because his confidence has to be really low right now. Unsure. Am I the same player that I once was? Can I still compete at this high level? Because his technique, and I'm not a cornerback guru, but I know some things hanging around, you know, some of the great ones, right? I slept at a Holiday Inn last night, right? So I know a little bit of what I'm talking about. But just getting turned around, kind of not understanding what defense that they're in. He gave up that deep ball. The receiver just ran by him, and he was kind of loafing like somebody was over the top, got turned around multiple times. And so that is who I would attack just off the rip. Obviously going to go at Pat P because some of those things happened to him, but I'm going right back at Bashar Breeland in this game and making him prove to me that he can do something and make a play on the ball.
Yeah, this is the reason why, Zoe, I continue to talk about the offense for the Arizona Cardinals. And in a gross simplification of the truth, I cannot state that or overstate it enough because to me, again, it's the onus is on the offense of the Arizona Cardinals to go out and win this game. Again, do you need all three phases to win a game? Of course, you need all three phases. But I look at the Arizona Cardinals coming off what they just did the week before, what they accomplished in Tennessee, and I look at them before the Tennessee Titans game, going into it. The established players, the more established players, are on the offensive side of the ball, in my opinion. You don't have a lot of young guys that you're counting on, like Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons, Marco Wilson. You don't have a lot of young guys on the offensive side of the ball. You've got a lot of veteran guys on the offensive side of the ball that have actually done stuff and accomplished things in the NFL.
Right.
Because of that, I'm going to look at Kyler Murray and his growth and what this offense did last week and hope that they continue to take that yoke of responsibility around their head.
But let's not forget the defense set the tone, giving the ball short fields, because the offense did kind of sputter early on, right? They had to get a couple of possessions to kind of get their rhythm.
Oh.
And the defense set them up to be able to go through that and not have to panic or feel like, oh, well, we're down 7-0 or 10-0 now, right? The defense kept them around with the turnovers, with the pressure, with the three and outs. And so, it's always complimentary, right? But I'm a defensive guy. The defense goes out there and set that tone again. It just takes the pressure off of Kyler. It takes the pressure off the offense where we don't feel like we're expected to do it, you know, put up points, but we don't have to go out there and have to feel like we have to score 30 a game to win games. You know, we can win with putting up 24 or 20 the way this defense played last week on a consistent basis.
And they've already stopped Derrick Henry. I imagine your confidence is high that you feel like you can stop Dalvin Cook, even though they're not the same guy. They're still both
very similar guys. Yeah.
Text us your thoughts on the Cardinals' defense in their matchup with Minnesota to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, what trends could we see tonight with the Giants and the Washington football team, and could any of them impact the Cardinals? The lowdown continues next on the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wecopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wecopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Y'all see it. Were you yelling at your sideline or their sideline?
I was yelling at them.
Okay.
I wonder what game that is. I wonder if that's the Rams game from 2016 or... Cause they was talking crazy too to me when we played in L.A. So I don't know what game that's from. It'd be interesting to see what game it is. But it was definitely talking to either their sideline. It was definitely directed at their sideline or their fans.
Yeah.
Who had probably been talking a little bit of trash to me throughout the game.
It's always a good thing to just get yourself going. Sometimes you got to just fire it up. You got to say something, because if you're going to say something, guess what? You better back it up as well, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I did. I can't tell you how many times I did that to get myself going.
Yeah. One thing jumped in my mind before. I don't want to derail the segment with this, but Jacoby Jones, I was playing with the Oakland Raiders. He had a solid return on me, or on us, I should say, and he was like, "You better go check my resume." What? So the next play, we come back down, and we all swarm around, pop him. "You better go check my resume," all in his face.
I thought you were going to say, "We checked it. Nah, we weren't impressed."
Nah.
That's great. Well, we were going to talk about this game either way. There's a football game tonight, though, but it, I mean, certainly helps. You played for Washington for 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
They will take on the Giants tonight, and Washington is one of those teams, I think, with legitimate NFC East championship title, first place, whatever aspirations. I don't know about the Giants having that. But what did you see out of Washington in the first week, where they played the Chargers close and looked like they might win that game, and then somehow the Chargers ended up pulling away?
Yeah, I mean, that just comes down to, you know, the quarterback play. You know, you look at Herbert and what he's able to do. You see Fitzmagic go down early. Taylor Heineke has he has the ability to play. I don't know what his ceiling is in this league quite yet, but you know that defense of the Washington football team is just so dynamic. When you think about all the guys from Chase Young to Sweat, you got Jonathan Allen in the middle. You got a cat coming off the bench called his name is Settle. That's really good, and they just really dominate the game from a defensive standpoint, and that's what's going to allow them to stay in a lot of these games. Then they got a nice little weapon on the outside, Terry McLaurin, number 17, that's, I think, underappreciated nationally with some of the numbers that he's put up. And he had this awesome catch on the sideline.
Yeah, really nice catch in that game.
That
yeah.
was just like, my gosh, you caught that and was able to get his feet down. So they have the pieces to make some noise, right? When you think about how weak the division is, we don't quite know what the Eagles are, even though they look nice. The Giants, to your point, they over there on the side somewhere. And then we got to see what's going to happen with these Dallas Cowboys. You know, I think they're probably the most talented team, but they have all these injuries and always have some adversity. And nobody ever wants to see Dallas win anyway. So,
they don't.
And they continue to always drop the ball. Ever since the mid-90s runs, they never do anything. So I think it's going to end up coming down to the Eagles and the Washington football team as far as who can mature, masturbate better. And then if Fitz can get back into the mix – Fitzpatrick for the Washington football team, I think that'll be helpful as well.
You know, for me, I just love football. I cannot wait to watch any NFL game that happens, and I don't care
really?
What it is. Yeah, honestly, wow. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you're 2-10 and they're 10-2, because
yeah.
You know what? Honestly, for me,
you can analyze it.
It's football at the highest level. It's one of the things that I love. Let me get your opinion on Daniel Jones and what you've seen from Daniel Jones as a quarterback, because the New York Giants. There are some people in that organization that I'm told really believe that this guy is still developing and is going to be the franchise quarterback and the answer as a franchise quarterback. Your thoughts on Daniel Jones?
I think we played against him maybe his rookie year, so it's hard for me as a player to really judge him, because rookie quarterbacks,
you don't respect
them at all, right? I respect what you're trying to do, but we really don't respect you. We about to light you up over here,
which we did.
But he's okay. He's developing. You know, I think a lot of people thought he was a reach. You know, he kind of came out of nowhere.
Yep.
He has the ability, and everybody has the ability, but he has to show it. I mean, I think he may have beat Washington four times. I believe it was a stat four times, but everybody else, he only has four wins collectively. There's like a stat out there that's similar to that, right? I was listening and heard the stat this morning. It's like a weird stat. So I don't know, right? Because last year is kind of a throwaway year, because you don't have Saquon and you didn't have an offseason. And so now Saquon is kind of working itself back in. He's not quite there, but that's who the team needs to run through. He has
totally.
To have a healthy Saquon Barkley in order for him to be the most impactful quarterback based on who he is today. He's not the guy that's going to sit back there and just rip you apart and drive you down the field. He hasn't developed like that quite yet. He's not even on that trend in my mind is when I've watched him and how much he's grown. Does he have the ability to do that maybe a couple of years down the line, maybe become like a Kirk Cousins? Sure. But not right now, that's not where he's at. He's not ready for that. And that's why this team won't do that well, because Saquon is still not 100%. I don't even know if he's going to play tonight, because it's such a short week, and they don't want to overload him too soon and set him back.
Yeah, and what do you hit? I think 26 yards in week one, and you're right, they were talking about maybe trying to rush him back, but why would you rush him back?
There's no reason to. You get nothing out of this year, especially if you don't project your team to be going somewhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for a talented guy like that to overload him too soon, and then you ruin him for the rest of his career.
It's funny, because Daniel Jones was the sixth pick in that 2019 draft, so he was the second quarterback behind Kyler Murray. And at the time, and I'm sure some of it's because he was playing in New York, but at the time it was like, who's going to be better between Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray?
Yep.
All right, well, I think we have our answer there. Now, I just saw up on that screen before this segment, they were saying, who's better, Daniel Jones or Taylor Heinicke?
So, right. It's dropped off big time. And I normally follow other guys that have played in this league and that understand it. And so one of my favorite guys on ESPN, Dan Orlovsky, we came out together. I tend to, when I want to see what a quarterback or how a quarterback is, I kind of go find him and see what he's saying. And he was never a believer, hasn't really seen the development. And so I kind of rely a lot on that when you're talking about a quarterback. I never played that. Couldn't tell you. I could tell you some things, but not like he can.
Yeah.
And so he just hasn't seen the development either, or the skill set needed to become the guy for long term in New York.
So who do you see coming out of there? Dallas? Do you see the Cowboys coming out in the NFC East? That's who I think is going to actually do it. But again, there's so many questions.
Yeah, and they have so many injuries, right?
Yes.
You know, Collins just got suspended, or last week got suspended for 5 weeks after the Tampa Bay
Lawrence
game.
Lawrence just went down. He's Lawrence going for what, down. 4 to 6?
Greg has been out. Gregory, the other rusher's been out for a while because of COVID, right? So when he comes back, is he going to be fresh and be able to jump right back into it? It's just so much going on with the offensive line not playing well. And now they're talking about Zeke. Is Zeke starting to fade? You know, they were talking about this morning, you know, did he lose all that weight, because he can feel himself losing a step? And so he's trying to come in great shape, even though he's only 26. They just haven't been able to put it all together. Dak is Dak. Great. I'm still not a believer in their defense at all. Like, you talk about being in the bottom third, their defense last year set records.
Historic.
Yes. They were atrocious. And so you're not going to take a huge step forward in one season defensively, especially on the back end when you were that bad.
Especially without Lawrence, too.
Right, and Gregory. And you don't have anybody rushing the passer, and they play, cover three. You know, you're sitting back, and Dan Quinn wants rushers. That's what he was able to do in Seattle for so long, because he had people up front. Sit back, do your job, and you can make plays. But they don't have that same personality as the Legion of Boom and that defensive line that they had, that a lot of people forget who was on that defensive line as well. So I'm still, you may say I'm biased because I played for him, but it's been a long time since I've been in Washington. The name has changed and everything. I really think, because of the defense and what they bring defensively and the playmakers that they do have on offense, and I believe Taylor is good. We saw what he was able to do against Tom Brady in that defense last year in the playoffs.
Almost took him out.
Right. He has the ability to play at a high level. Now, can he do it consistently week in and week out? And then when Fitzmagic ever gets back, can he then reintegrate himself if Taylor hasn't taken over the job? But I really still think it's still Washington football team's division to lose.
And there was a little talk Antonio Gibson might have been hurt earlier in the week. He's fine for tonight, though. So Washington, for the most part, is at full strength going into this game tonight. Text Red Sea right now to 620-620 and listen for your name today at 135 and 335, and you could win a pair of tickets to the Arizona Cardinals home opener this Sunday against Minnesota. Plus, one grand prize winner will score an autographed Kyler Murray jersey, courtesy of Pristine Auction. That's Red Sea to 620-620. Coming up, how much of an impact has Rodney Hudson had in Kyler Murray's growth? You'll hear what the quarterback thinks next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys. He's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeals are coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Well, of all the additions the Cardinals made in the offseason, there were some big names. Some of them are a lot easier to, like even a guy like Rondale Moore, you could see four catches, 68 yards. You could see some of that electric playmaking ability he has. Probably the hardest guy, though, to just be able to pick up watching TV to see what his impact was is the center, Rodney Hudson. And so Kyler Murray was asked, because he will know better than anybody, obviously, how much Hudson helped in week one against Tennessee.
Makes a ton of difference. The check to Hop, you know, when he scored on slant, him before the play, he alerted that it was going to be zero. And, you know, that I've never experienced that with, you know, the center just, alerting me that that was coming. So that's just something that he does that most guys, wouldn't see. So big time difference with him.
So he saw it first?
Yeah.
Turn around.
That's making an impact if you're telling your quarterback where to throw the ball, basically.
I mean, it's so awesome for Rodney to be able to do that. Man, I play with a guy on the opposite side, London Fletcher, that could do the same thing. If you know what play is coming, I'm about to hunker down and go make a play now, right? I'm going to do it with confidence. It's just a amount of confidence that Rodney has provided Kyler, be able to see little things like that, you know, way guys line up, who's on the field. It just takes a weight off your shoulders as a quarterback when you can trust a guy to give you accurate information that's going to be right probably 90, 95% of the time. And so now you're back there, okay, oh, I know what's coming. Here it goes. Looks, even if it looks like we're going to talk about, right, Zimmer, it gives you multiple defenses out of the same look, right? But every guy has a tail. Every guy has a tail, whether his left foot is back, right foot is up, whether he is leaning forward with the weight, right? And the older you get in this league and you study, you start seeing things. So maybe he's scratching his jersey before he's blitzing. You know, whatever it may be, everybody has a tail. And a guy like Rodney, who I was around in Oakland for a year, the way he studies and prepares is going to allow that weight off of Kyler's back, because he's going to be able to pick that up. Hey, 55 and 59 are coming over here to the right, okay? And it may not look like nothing, awesome. But you're like, how are they coming? But Kyler's going to trust it because of what we just happened in that first week of the game. And when you're able to have a relationship like that, it's just going to allow him to make the throws that we saw him make, avoid some things because he's that much faster because he's expecting it now. And it's just going to be crazy. That's essentially Rodney Hudson is Kyler Murray. Or I'm sorry, this is what Tom Brady does. He plays the center role and the quarterback at the same time. He's able to do that same thing. So Kyler obviously is not Tom Brady yet. I mean, by having a Rodney Hudson who can be that mental aspect of the game for him right now as he continues to develop, it's going to allow him to have that type of impact on the game and use his athleticism, use that arm, be able to work from the pocket and stay in there a little bit longer because he knows the O-line is going to pick things up. And then on another thing with Rodney Hudson, man, this dude – most of the time, I don't know if people know what mollying is. I know you know what mollying is, right? So this is when typically you have a guard go out and get the outside blitzer.
Okay.
Rodney Hudson is so good that they're asking him to do it from a center position. There was one play where they blitzed from the right side, and they slid to the left. The offensive line slid away from the blitz, and Rodney Hudson saw the blitzer coming and mollies out to go protect him and picks him up from the center position. I don't think people understand how hard this is when you got somebody running like a 4-4 coming to get him, and Rodney Hudson's a big guy, but takes a great angle, gets the block, and Kyler's able to get the ball off. And so he just gives this team so many different aspects that are not going to be calculated on the stat sheet. That's going to allow Kyler to play better, this offense to play better, and then obviously resulting in more wins this year.
Why did they let him go?
It really is crazy.
I know it's a rhetorical question.
He let Khalil Mack go. So after you let Khalil Mack go, everybody else is just everybody else, right? Okay, you have a generational player on your team. Oh, we don't need you. I'm great minds.
He didn't just let him go. He let him go and then turned around and complained that he didn't have a pass rush right after he let him go.
I just cannot tell you how important it is that you've got players like that, like Rodney Hudson.
Yeah.
On the field, right? I know, Zoe, you were one of those players as well. And I remember being a rookie. I remember being so young, and it was so important. Roy Jetstream Green. Go ahead and Google it, my young Chronic Brothers. Okay? Roy Jetstream Green, I kid you not, one of the most unbelievable players and so smart and intelligent. Played wide receiver. He was out in the slot. And I was on third and obvious. It was a third and obvious pass situation. They brought me in to protect Neil Lomax. Mm-hmm. Not to be a guy that we're going to give the ball, but to actually protect him. Okay, we had three wides onto the field. Roy's in the slot to my left. Roy's pointing out, Wolf, Here it comes. He's out there as a wide receiver, and he's telling me, here it comes. It's zero. Look at the secondary, right?
Right.
And sure enough, here it came. I mean, it's like you were saying, Zoe, when you've got a guy out there who's like a coach on the field and is the answer man 99.9% of the time,
right.
That just fills you with a confidence that is so awesome.
And he already trusts him. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like, okay, you're going to trust this guy because he's been in the league and he's been doing it. But from Kyler's perspective, to trust him halfway through week one of the season, and like you said, it worked. It led right directly to a touchdown. So it's more likely he's going to trust him next week against coming up on Sunday against Minnesota. We've been talking a lot about this even off the air, though, with Zimmer and the way he can disguise his defenses and run a bunch of different things at you that look the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be tougher even for a guy like Hudson to call out, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it gets tough, but there's always a tail. There's always guys that are going to give it away, whether it's a young guy that doesn't know that he has one or an old guy that just has habits and he's used to doing it a certain type of way. You know, as a rusher, sometimes I used to switch my feet, right? So when I had my inside foot up, I probably was going to drop. And then if I switched it and had my inside foot up so I could turn and see the ball better, I could have a better get off, most likely I was rushing. And so then at some point I decided, hey, I'm just going to keep my inside foot back, make it look like I'm a rusher all the time. And so now it's a little bit harder to tell if I'm going. Rodney is going to identify probably one or two guys that have a tail that's going to allow him to know, okay, this is what this defense really is. And then be able to communicate that to Kyler. And then normally what guys do is that when they break it down to film, it has to have a high probability rate too, right? So if a guy does something one time, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you to, hey, here comes a blitz, and a guy does it one time.
Yeah.
But if he does it 4, 5, 6, oh, man, this is almost every single time. Now that's when you start using those type of cues, and I guarantee you somebody has it on the Minnesota Vikings defense.
I just got to ask you this quickly right here. Who do you think is going to win this game coming up on Sunday?
That's 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, he's made you give a prediction.
Yeah, I know, right?
I got a little bit more information now.
Okay.
As an analyst,
I got a little bit more information this week. I can go off of some stuff.
For the record, he doesn't make Max Starks pick a winner. He hasn't made Max pick a winner
yet. It's fine, though. I'm better than Max. I'm better. So it doesn't matter.
Because Max is going to roll for 5 minutes if I ask him that.
You know, I'm going to rock with the card. This week, the way their defensive line is playing, the weakness of this Minnesota Vikings is up front. They're not very good, and I think JJ is going to have a dominant game. And it doesn't even matter what Kyler. I know they're going to have some point, but it doesn't even matter because JJ should wreck this game based on the play of the interior line of the Minnesota Vikings.
I feel smart because I'm in line with Zoe on this one, specifically JJ Watt having a big game. You heard me even say that in the pregame show.
Yeah, no, you did.
So good stuff, man. Thanks a lot.
And you
gave away your tell, so now I actually do believe you're not coming back to play in the NFL. So,
thank you, bro.
Anytime.
Thanks a lot. That's Lorenzo Alexander joining us. He joins us every week. When we come back, what can we expect to see from the Vikings on Sunday? We'll talk to their sideline analyst and 12-year NFL veteran, Greg Coleman, next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.